The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, at what point did you realize you might need medical attention? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Marilyn. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
So when the Kraken started playing here, I got tickets the night before their very first preseason game at Showare. So I was getting ready to go to the game, and I was on the floor, and I went to stand up, and I tripped and fell and landed on my nose, my tooth, and my hands.
Ooh, Jesus.
Got up, and I have a history of dislocating my shoulder, so I thought, I think I dislocated it. Still going to go. Said to my daughter, okay, you drive. I grabbed an ice pack, put it on my shoulder. We drove down to the game, parked across the street, walked to the game, watched the whole game. Also watching the Oregon State, Oregon Civil War game on my phone with the lady next to me with the ice pack. By the end of the game, I realized, I don't think it's dislocated. I better go to the emergency room. So we stop at the emergency room on the way home, and they went, you what? How long ago? About 6 hours. They're like, okay. So they x-rayed it. I shattered the head of the humerus, which is the ball on the upper part of your arm, and fractured the tibia plateau, which is the wide part of your lower leg that apparently when you damage that, it's usually like 6 months of non-weight bearing.
Cool.
And okay. I straightened my deviated septum.
Wait a minute. So that was a positive.
Yes, that was the one positive.
You fixed your nose.
I fixed my nose, yeah.
That's impressive.
So how long was your recovery after all of this?
So I had to have surgery on my shattered arm. That was a bunch of pins and a plate. That took 18 months of physical therapy. Surgery, I had to have two surgeries on my arm. And then my tibia plateau, interestingly enough, I fractured it rather than shattering it. So I had to be non-weight bearing for 6 weeks. But in that 6 weeks, we found out my mother-in-law was dying. So we had to go to Pittsburgh.
Oh, God.
And so, it was a whole time. So that was actually not bad. That was like 2 months. But the arm, 18 months.
What did you trip over?
Nothing.
You
face planted for no reason.
I face planted. Yeah. We have concrete floors covered with hardwoods. And I was from like a kneeling position, not even standing straight up. So I don't know why, but I shattered my arm and my leg and still went to the game. And then at the hospital, they're like, do you realize 11 years ago today you were here because I shattered the other arm in a car accident?
Jesus, man.
On the exact same day.
What's the date?
October 2nd.
Oh, it's coming up. What you got planned this year? What big medical emergency?
Stay on the couch.
And funny enough, it was a Saturday both days. I'm hoping,
Even if she stays on the couch, that a bunch of the ceiling collapses in, like clips you on the side of the head or something.
But October 2nd's a Thursday, so she should be okay.
Should be.
Hopefully I got a couple more years, and let's hope not everything else.
Do you know the next time the October 2nd falls on a Saturday? Because apparently all the stars must align for you to damage yourself.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I think wrapping bubble wrap or something on that day. So I would years away.
Yeah, I would suggest that. I would suggest, do you have dogs?
Yeah,
get them out of the house that day. Just any risk factor. Yeah, just get it out of the house.
She's got till 2027.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You got two good years in you before it goes back down again. I'm just saying, I'm not superstitious, but if that keeps happening, I go, look, man, October 2nd is just not my day, right? I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be anywhere. Do not take me out of the house. I don't care that it's a Saturday. Just no.
At what point did you realize you might need medical attention? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Scott. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
Long time listener, first time caller. I love the program and I love this topic.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I love injuries.
A lot of the stories kind of remind us of other things that we've done.
Of course.
Been there, done that. I've never put a crossbow bolt through my own skull, but
okay.
It ain't over yet. Maybe later. My injury took place during March Madness of last year. It was a Saturday as well, and I was watching Gonzaga play. And, I had a beer or three, or, something like that. My fiance and I live on a boat, so I was watching the games here, And when she got home, she reminded me, we were supposed to fill up the water tank today. Our water supply is dry. So what we have to do to fill up the water tank is run the hose from the dock to the front end of the boat. So we have to walk along the side of the boat, drag the hose up there, put it into a downspout, and then fill up the tank that way. Any other day, it probably would have been okay, but my center of gravity was not there. And I'm trying to walk along the side of the boat, which is about 12 inches in width, and just somehow, some way, in mid-step, as my right leg is going to traverse in front of my left, something hit that hose, and it caught. And it was like I got clotheslined by a linebacker. I snapped back, lost my balance, and I toppled over the side of the boat.
Ooh, in March?
This was in March, yeah.
Sounder Lake.
This is the lake.
Thank lake God. Jesus. Yeah, well, that saved you about 10 degrees.
It was probably a good thing that the water was cold. I didn't hit it first. I missed the water, and I hit the dock. So as I got pulled over, I'm off balance, and I landed straight on my shoulder blade. And I felt, heard, smelled it pop, you know. And then I bounced into the water.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So
there we go. Premature on the sound effect.
Well, you finally got the water you were looking for.
The question is, when did you realize you needed medical attention? And my answer right then was as soon as I can get out of this damn lake. I broke my right shoulder, full dislocation of the humerus bone. It popped out of the rotator cuff, stretched out the tendon, and I'm doing half a doggy paddle because I couldn't get my right arm to move at all.
I was going to say, how did you get out of the water?
Well, my fiance, bless her heart, was trying so hard to help me out. She grabbed a life preserver, and she threw it at me, expecting me to catch it. My face caught it. She got me between the eyes with the life preserver. And I just kind of shoved that over to the side. Then I tried to find a way to get myself out of the water with one arm. In our immediate vicinity of our slip, there's no ladder to get out. But we have a neighbor who had a boat with a low swim deck. And so I was able to scooch my way on over to that in the water and was able to kind of thrust my way out of the water, grab hold of the ladder that's on their swim deck, and with one hand try to pull myself out of the water. So I get up and, you know, she meets me on the other side of this boat. And right about then is when shock started coming in. It was cold. It had the effects of alcohol, which probably didn't help.
No,
and
they didn't.
The shock of the pain, it all kicked in.
And what was all the damage? Well, you said all the damages. What's your recovery time in all of this?
Yeah, okay. It took from March until May to actually get into the surgeon to get the tendons.
What do you do in the meantime? If you need surgery, and I know you're not internally bleeding, but I'm saying you need surgery based on what happened, like, what do you do for the 2 months in between?
Okay. That same day we ran to urgent care. And they couldn't help. They weren't going to touch it. So they sent me to UW Medical Center. And about 6 hours after plummeting off the boat, hitting the dock, and walking around with one arm 4 inches longer than the other one, they got me into a surgeon. They had to put me under to reduce or put the arm back into its socket.
Yeah.
So they fixed the dislocation. It took another 6 weeks after that to actually get in to do the surgery for the tendons and all that kind of stuff.
I got you.
Yeah. Out of work for about 3 months after that. And I guess I've been doing physical therapy now for about a year.
And how much longer do you think you have on that?
You know, I'd say I'm probably doing pretty well. We're trying to rebuild strength because you have all that atrophy where you just can't do anything. You kind of scratch your ass with your left hand. I'm back to a point. I've been working for a while. I'm starting to work out again, trying to rebuild some of the strength that I had beforehand. So it's been a good year-long process. A light at the end of the tunnel, though.
Was this past March?
March of 24.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So did Gonzaga win or lose that game?
Dude, I would think that they won because it seems like they did pretty well in that tournament.
Okay.
But,
that's the kids that went to Oklahoma City, right? That's the year the tall, lanky kid from Oklahoma City.
I think so, yeah. And what?
That's the guy.
If you live on a houseboat, what are the advantages and disadvantages of living on a houseboat? So, like, what's the best part to you, and what's the part that annoys the living piss out of you?
The best part of it, I would say it's a secured marina, so you know we don't have a whole bunch driving by. We don't have to deal with that. We live on the water. Beautiful to have a back deck or something like that, and we've made it home. You have to be ready for some space limitations. I got to tell you, while I was in that cast and my arm was immobilized for, I was going stir crazy. You couldn't imagine a bigger case of cabin fever in a smaller cabin. It was tricky.
The toilet's small. Mm-hmm. The shower's small. The area you have to move around in, and now you have one less arm to do it.
Right.
The biggest
challenge since you mentioned it was trying to keep balance. The lake rocks, the boat rocks.
Yeah.
And when one arm is pinned against your side, I felt like I was on a high wire a lot.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Okay. You go from one room to the other, yeah.
Are you on like a sailboat or like a houseboat?
It's a houseboat. It's a 40-foot yacht on Lake Union. So,
yeah. I'm sure I've seen it many times.
I was going to say, I had some friends that lived on a sailboat over in, like by Golden Gardens.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's Shilshol Marina or whatever.
How big is your boat, roughly?
I can't remember. I mean, it was a nice sailboat, right? It had like the bedroom in the back and then one little one up front and everything. It was cool. But if you had more than three or four people, it was
real
tight,
crowded real
tight.
Quick.
Yeah. Correct. And then one night we were out there watching a thunderstorm, which is pretty rare for this area.
Yeah.
But you just realize you're sitting
with a giant lightning
with a big
rod.
Metal pole.
Right. You're just sitting on the stern. And then my buddy was like, you might want to get off that. Like, come inside. I was like, yeah, you're not wrong.
At what point did you realize you might need medical attention? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
So I'm about 75% of the way through my existing needing medical condition.
All right.
So back in March, I like to work out with some dumbbells and stuff. And I came home one day and went to do some curls. And with my left arm, I could not even lift a 20-pound dumbbell up past my waist. So I went down to the doctor to get checked out. They did an x-ray, and there's three x-ray girls in the room. The gal takes x-ray and immediately grabs the other two gals back there and says, "Have you ever seen this before?"
Oh, cool. Whatever patient wants to hear.
You're the Petri dish.
Yeah.
So the other two gals look at me, and then they look down at the screen, and then they look away. So they send me to a spinal surgeon, and I get a nerve test. Eventually, everything they're pushing through is like, stat, this needs to be done immediately. Mind you, this is back in March. So I go get an MRI, and the MRI shows that I have three blown discs in my neck.
Jesus.
That are pushing on my spinal cord, and they're cutting all the fluid off around my spinal cord and pushing on the nerve that controls my left arm, which is why it's super weak.
Wow. Okay. How did that happen, or do they know?
They say degenerative disc disorder. I happen to work at a manufacturer of large things that fly, and spend a lot of time crouched down with my neck straight up in the air, but they will deny and defend themselves to
of course
dying day that it's not them. So anyways, 3 weeks from now I go down to the surgeon. They're going to remove those three discs, put in cages, fuse the front of my spine together, and then on the 6th I will be out at your 20th anniversary.
All right.
Nice.
So, yeah. Now, what kind of condition are you going to be in at the 20th anniversary party?
I told you I'll be the guy in the cervical collar.
Yeah. All right.
So this is 3 days after surgery. at the very least, I'll be highly medicated and completely enjoying myself.
I'm wondering, like, how much you can tip your head back to drink.
That's a good
point. Like, I have to drink through a straw. Bendy straws.
I was going
to
say.
Might not be the time to be drinking booze.
Yeah, if you're all medicated.
Or the perfect time.
It is the perfect time.
Yeah, why not?
All right. Well, damn.
I'll bring you up on stage. Come on.
Put him on the TED Tab.
Did you offer?
TED Tab.
You're 3 days out of surgery and a neck brace. No beers on the TED Tab.
Yeah, that's fair.
At what point did you realize you might need medical attention? 206-803-ROCK.
That guy's going to be asleep.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
I'm just saying, that's a big surgery. Those are big prescriptions.
I got to think that prescription is going to be like, yeah, tops.
Yeah.
Hello, Vicky. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Ago, I had back pain, and it was really bothering me, and my ex-husband said, basically, you know, get over it, quit your whining. But it went on and on, and so I went up to my doctor, and my doctor said, oh, you know, that back's come with old age. You're going to get a sore back once in a while. I'm old age. I'm 45. And he's like, oh, you know, just take some Tylenol, whatever. And I thought, this is really, really hurting me. So I drove myself down to the ER and found out that I had bacterial meningitis.
Oh.
Which is fatal.
Yeah.
It's been a week in the hospital.
Now, how do you end up with bacterial meningitis?
I have no idea.
So you don't know how you get it? Like, is it through food? Is it through the air? Like,
in other words, so there's ways to get it, but are you saying that, like, the doctors did not know specifically how you got it?
Right, and you can get it from other people, and I work with the public because I am an optician, so I'm really close to people's faces. So
is it an airborne thing?
Yeah, basically, yes.
Hmm. Well, that's comforting.
Okay,
that's good to know. Huh. Wow.
If you're close to me.
So when they tell you this, how long did the doctor say, in other words, because you were always going to die if you didn't show up here, blah, blah, blah. So was it like 2 days, right. 5 minutes, a week, what?
Oh, no, probably a month.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's nice of the doctors.
Jeez,
usually bad 5 minutes.
The pain would have got worse.
What do you do in a hospital for a week? Like, how do you occupy your time? Has the TV channels, have they improved? You're like, entertainment-wise, can you do anything?
Well, like I said, this was 20 years ago. I'm 65 now, so.
What do they do to treat bacterial meningitis? Is it just antibiotics or what?
Yes, yeah, lots of IVs and lay on your back. Can't really do much movement. So the way they found out I had it was took the spinal tap and found out. But some fluid was in there that wasn't supposed to be in there.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's awfully terrifying. Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Jesus.
That is.
God damn, man.
I will say, when I had pneumonia the first time as a kid, I had to spend like a few days in the hospital. Well, I mean, I was in high school, but it was right after Christmas.
All right.
Wasn't too bad, man. There was a lot of bowl games on.
You know what? That's a good point.
I just thought it was cool because the nurses always came in and checked on me. So my parents couldn't be there all the time. I was like probably like 8 or 9.
What were you in for?
They thought I had appendicitis.
What was it?
Severe bronchitis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
But I liked it. I mean, anytime
has
you like...
Has your throat and stuff ever been okay?
No. But like Jell-O, pudding, ice cream, macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, as a kid, you're like, this is great.
I mean, anytime I wanted.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, when you're a kid, if you were flying alone or in the hospital, you get hooked up. Because as a kid, I loved when we could fly alone. And, you know, when your parents are there, like, you can't do this, you can't do that.
No.
I'm like, and
you
then
want
when
a
you're
soda?
A kid and
hell
flying,
yeah, I want a soda.
They give it to you for free. And then they give you this. Then they give you that. Then they hang out with you. All this stuff. You know, you feel like a rock star by the time you get off the plane.
The only thing I didn't like was they put me in the shower.
Yeah.
And I think just at that age.
Well, sure.
Before the locker room, before all that stuff, you're 8 or 9 years old, and you're like, I'm not taking off my clothes in front of you.
Get out of here, creep. Crazy.
Like, we've already seen you. You've already been knocked out. We already know what you got.
That's
like,
a good point.
I don't care. I'm awake now. Now yeah. I know. At what point did you realize you might need medical attention? 206-803-ROCK.
Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinky's Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Coming up at 4:30 on the program, the return of Who Sucks Less. Right after emails on our question, at what point did you realize you might need medical attention? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Paul. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys. How are you?
Hola. Doing well, man.
Awesome. Hey, first of all, I'd like to thank you guys for doing what you do. And I've been to a couple parties over in Ballard with you guys. You guys are always fun.
Oh, right on. Thank you, bro.
Very cool.
Yeah. So my story is a little, it's obviously very dumb. When I was like 18, 19, we went on our senior trip. And a couple of me and my buddies, we went to on a cruise. And we were partying in one of the bars, and they shut it down. And I was standing against the wall waiting for my buddies. And I passed out standing against the wall, and right next to the wall was a staircase. And I fell down the staircase.
Jesus. How many stairs are on this staircase?
I would say there was about 10, because I landed on the, I ended up on the landing screaming my head off because I was in so much pain.
What, was this because you were drunk?
Yes, I passed out standing against the wall, and the ship or I was moving, and I just slid right back on the wall down the stairs.
It, what was the damage you did to yourself, or did it just hurt?
It hurt incredible. I was yelling. I was in so much pain. But on those stairs, on the edge, there was metal. So when I landed, I hit a piece of the metal with my head first.
Okay, wow. That will do it.
Good. Checked off all the boxes.
Did you? Did the ship doctor check you out?
They did take me to the shop, the ship doctor, and he was really mad because I woke him up at like 3 in the morning.
Well, he's the ship doctor. What does he expect? You're on call, bro.
I know. It was weird. So I got home, and they wouldn't let me drink for a day, and I was kind of bummed out about that.
Well,
but
yeah.
Then I got back home, and I told my mom, I was like, she was an x-ray tech, and I go, hey, my head kind of hurts. So they took an x-ray, and I had cracked my skull a little bit.
Oh, geez. Is there anything they could do, or do you just have to wait for it to heal?
You just wait for it to heal. It had a huge bump there, and then it finally went away, and then it just calcified.
Okay.
When you're on a ship and you go to like the little, you got to wake up the doctor. Does that have a good, like a fun name, like the infirmary?
All I know is that doctor was super mad, and for some reason I was so drunk that I thought I could speak Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish, and it was making him so mad.
Hola, mi amigo.
I go, yeah, it was so embarrassing, and like they wanted to charge me $50, and they kept they wouldn't let me off the boat unless I paid them $50. It was insane.
Okay, I mean, in the doctor's defense, you're drunk, you fall backwards down a stairwell,
and then
you're speaking Spanish to him. It's 3 a.m.
All right, now let me ask you this: we're not going to let you off the boat unless you pay $50. Well, I'm on a cruise ship.
Yep.
I'm not giving you the $50. Now what? Do I get to cruise around with you? I mean, like what? What are they going to do?
They literally came up to my door a couple times and said, you owe us this money.
I want my $50.
Like, exactly. And I was like, really, $50? I mean, I'm the one that got hurt. And they're like, just give us the $50 and get off our boat.
Okay.
All good times.
Well, you know what? To be fair, as far as medical treatment goes, $50, not so bad.
Until what point did you realize you might need medical attention? 206-803-ROCK.
Starting to wonder if there's something about people that go on cruises.
I mean, well, yeah, because you're surrounded by booze. There's nowhere else to go. So you tend to get very, very hammered. I will say, the cruise I went on, I mean, we're in the Mediterranean. So I've been like, wait a minute. I can stay on the boat if I don't give you $50. I'd still be there.
I saw a video the other day. There's some passage or something. It's like where all the three oceans meet.
All right.
And the swells are massive. So it's a video of a dude like sitting in his room and these waves are like hitting the window.
Ooh.
And then I found out like only certain cruise ships will go in there as they're big enough. And people pay extra to go through like the turbulent stuff.
Yeah, no.
I'm with you.
We had one rough day at sea.
What if that's at the bottom of South America?
It said where the Atlantic, Pacific, and Southern meet.
That would probably be about that.
That would be South America.
I would not spend extra on that. We had one quote unquote rough day at sea. I did not feel too much. My wife did. I mean, I knew the boat was moving. Turns out I do not get motion sickness, but there was no doubt that the boat's kind of rocking back and forth. Now, that said, the waves never hit my window. That would have been a much different experience in my mind if that were the case.
There's kind of the bottom of the Baja Peninsula, California Peninsula.
All right.
There's kind of like an arch in the water.
Yeah.
And when you go to the Pacific part, out of the bay, you are, they're gunning it uphill.
Oh, right.
You are on the water, but you are gunning it uphill.
That's crazy.
It is the weirdest thing. I'm like, we going uphill? He's like, see? And I'm like, this is nuts.
Oh, he can speak Spanish.
Isn't water supposed to be flat?
Supposed to be. Probably like, it's supposed to be.
That's like a giant-ass hammerhead was down there. Because he gets on the phone, and he spots it. I don't.
Okay.
Because he's like, I looked. I didn't see anything. So he gets on the phone, and he calls the guy that's a boat captain up there that he knows. And he goes, get your snorkelers out of the water, basically.
Oh, because of the
hammerhead. He said it in Spanish. I didn't know what he was saying. And it's like, hey, man, what's going on? He's like, big shark.
Oh, say no more.
I was like, oh, okay.
All right.
And then later, I was like, well, what was it? He's like, a hammerhead. I was like, oh. Well, I thought they didn't attack humans. He's like,
oh, sure.
I don't know. Just big
I think if anything's big enough.
Get out of the water.
Right. Like, statistically, I'm sure they don't. You know what I mean? But
sure.
But also, I've seen some that are massive, and it's like, get everybody out of the water.
Huge. Here's my thing. When you say statistically blank, that means there is a statistic.
Correct.
If you can say this has never happened, don't worry about it. I go, cool. But if you say, well, statistically, you're like, okay, so it's happened. Might not happen much.
Right, like I could sit here all day and just go, if you have to run into a bear, I think I'd rather run into a black bear.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean a black bear won't F you up.
Well, here's the thing. If you go to Space Needle, they have that glass floor, right?
Yeah.
They don't say statistically no one's fallen through the glass floor. They say no one's fallen through the glass floor. Now, if you went to the Space Needle and you were standing on the glass floor and they go, well, statistically speaking, you're safe. Then there's no chance I step on it. To me, that is the entire difference.
I swear to God that thing's uphill.
It's like the Alpine slides I went on a few months ago. Some people ride with their kids.
Yeah.
So it says maximum weight for two passengers is like 370 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Then the parentheses, it says, unless it's raining, 340.
Oh.
To this day, I'm like, what happened the first day it rained?
You know what happened. You know what happened. Hey, so we went to the CN Tower in Toronto, and my daughter, they have a glass floor, nothing. I'm going to guess it's maybe twice as tall as Space Needle, definitely a couple hundred feet more. And they have the glass floor, and you look down, and for me, this is not cool. And my daughter's dancing on the thing and doing all this crap, and she's like, Dad, walk out here. And I'm like, no way. And she points at the wall, and they have a poster, and they're showing you the weight that these glass floors can hold. And there's a poster of five killer whales. And she says they can hold five killer whales. I said, what happened to the sixth one? And she stopped dancing and got off the glass floor. My wife's like, nice. I'm like, maybe I should have phrased that different, but right.
Yeah. At what point did you realize you might need medical attention? 206-803-ROCK.
We were talking earlier about bacterial meningitis. And Angela, you have some information now. People can track this.
Oh, hi.
Hola.
So my brother got bacterial meningitis when he was a year and a half. He is 41 years old right now. He died twice from it.
Jesus.
Had to be medevaced. It left him deaf with Tourette syndrome, and he has the mentality of a 10-year-old. And I just want to put it out there that there is a vaccine for it that I trust. A lot of medical professionals won't tell you about it. But
why? Why would they not tell you? Because obviously bacterial meningitis is not something anybody wants to get.
They still don't have any rhyme or reason.
No.
They have no rhyme or reason how you can get it. But there is a vaccine. You have to take it the day you were born and then when you are 16 years old.
So they have no idea how your brother contracted it. They just know that he did, and then it has led to these further complications.
The only thing that my mom is very intelligent, and the only thing that she read up on is towards water.
Really? So it's more waterborne, or you're more likely to get it from water as a source than anywhere else, as best anyone can tell?
Bodies of water. We lived in Wisconsin, and when he contracted it, we were in California. visiting our relatives.
We can tell you're from Wisconsin based on how you said Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. That is the truth. Like, say Wisconsin again.
Wisconsin.
Oh, don't try to switch it up now. California. Yeah, for whatever reason, man, I feel like most of the time I hear about meningitis, it is babies. Oh, yeah. Or little itty-bitty kids. And for whatever reason, it seems like, I don't know, like 20 years ago, it seemed like it was much more of a norm than it is.
I feel like when I was in high school, there was a college student at Maryland that died from it.
That sounds familiar.
It was like a massive story. And I remember we were all really scared. We were like,
is this another vaccination I need to get? Then what, one day old?
Well, at this point, too late.
Yeah, it's like the chicken pox.
Yeah, but here's the thing about chicken pox. Chicken pox wasn't killing anyone, so I did not realize that they now had a vaccine against it, right?
Well,
so,
they do, and also shingles.
But when my kid was born, I'm thinking, okay, you know, as my wife and I are projecting what the future is going to be, it's like, all right, you got to do the chicken pox party because that's how they did it with us, right? And when they're giving our kid the shots, they're like, oh, this one's for chicken pox. I'm like, what do you mean it's for chicken pox? I'm like, there's a vaccine against it. I'm like, when did this happen? And the lady was nice and just said, after you were born and before your kids. Where I'm like, man, that's lame. And what's funny is the nurse, she was about my age. She's like, I know. Like, all of us, we wanted to torment our kids.
I have a friend my age that had it.
Yeah. As an adult?
No.
Oh.
But I guess wherever he grew up.
Oh, the vaccine?
Yeah. You could hear it in my voice. I'm still pissed.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Good for kids now.
Yeah.
You don't have to get it.
I know.
But I'm just like, you're an adult. You never had to go through this? He's like, no. And I'm like,
my parents sent me. I was 4 years old. I did not know why, but they wanted me and my brother to play with this little girl down the street. We did not have an issue with her. We knew her, but we never really hung out. And we went there and we played with toys, whatever. The parents upstairs drinking, having a good time. After about 2 hours, we went home, said goodbye to this girl. And I'm pretty sure I never even saw her ass again. And then we had chicken pox. And my parents explained to us. But keep in mind, when you're explaining this to a child, my brother and I are like, wait, what? Like, well, she had chicken pox. And so we sent you guys down there to get it. We're like, you got us sick on purpose? Like, well, yeah, but look, at that point, kids have tuned out.
Just get rid of it. Just do it.
Yeah. But as a kid, that does not make sense. Why would you do that?
At what point did you realize you might need medical attention? 206-803-ROCK.
I saw somebody the other day. I can't remember if it was an Instagram person or somebody else kind of famous, and they were just talking about having the shingles.
Take that shot. Get that.
Right, that's it. He was just like, you think it's for old people? Like, I'm 30, whatever, or 40. Like, this is awful. You do not want to get it. I was just like, no. Damn.
Yeah, my dad got it. I was probably like 15, and he rarely ever got sick. And if he did get sick, you couldn't tell. And he was out for like a week, man. And at the time, shingles didn't mean anything. So my mother's like, well, there's this thing called shingles. Shingles, to me, are the things you put on the roof of your home, right? So I figured she misquoted it. Didn't know what she's talking about. When I finally kind of saw my father again, when he got his ass together, he's like, look, man, it's called shingles. I don't know what it is, but you don't want it. I'm like, okay, duly noted, man.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Shelly. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I realized I needed medical help after I was run over by a horse.
After?
Come on.
Why were you run over by a horse?
My husband and I were in our neighbor's pasture taking care of their horses, and we got caught in some herd dynamics. One horse went to pester another, and then she blew through my husband, who pushed through me, and I just went flat on the ground. And I didn't realize anything was wrong when it happened because I had no pain, no nothing. And 7 months earlier, I had had a knee replacement. And so as I'm sitting there, I pick up my leg to see if my knee's okay. And then my ankle's just flopping from side to side. Yeah. And I realized at that moment that it was broken. And all the bones were broken.
So, but they didn't put you down.
Yeah, right.
Like, anytime a horse breaks an ankle and, like, race. Oh, yeah, he's dead now.
Yeah, the horse is like, get over it, bitch. Really fine.
I mean, why is that?
Oh, hello, Shelly.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, it's because they do that because the recovery process is really long for horses and very difficult.
But it is for humans, too.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Do you think if you said to a horse, hey, look, man, this is going to be a long road to recovery?
It's going
to
be cool.
That's fine.
You'll never be able to run again.
Right.
But you can stud.
Right.
Do they have to do it on the track?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, it depends on the severity of the break as well. So sometimes if it's a clean enough break in an area that they could repair and successfully repair, they will. But otherwise, yeah, if you're going to have a mare that's just going to be a brood mare after that, or you've got a stud, because a gelding's not going to be any good. There's, you know, they can't stud. They just can't
they're like, not my choice.
Bother anything. So yeah, but yeah, you're right. It does seem a little unfair.
Well, it's just the racetrack is where you hear it the most for obvious reasons. But was it 2 or 3 years ago? I can't remember the racetrack, but they had like 3 horses go down in like a month. So every time they ran a race, a horse went down. Yeah. They put a blanket over the thing and basically just blew its head off and then dragged it off the track. I'm like, oh my god, man, that's
I had a friend that just had to put a horse down because he broke his leg when he's out working some cattle.
Who does this? Is there someone you call,
or do you just do it yourself?
It's probably best to do it yourself, because if you call a vet or something like that, you've got to wait, and then the horse sits there and suffers.
So, the horse was like, I'll wait.
Didn't put the bullet through me. So, but I ended up with surgery and 3-4 nights in the hospital. And yeah.
Wow.
But yeah.
Are you skittish around horses at all? Or are you just like, it happened?
No. Honestly, because I have horses too.
Oh, of
but
course.
These are my neighbor's horses. I know where every stinking horse is in the pasture now. So, because we were paying attention, but I wasn't even near that horse. I was near the colt. And so she just blew through my husband and he blew through me. And
well, how was your husband?
No. Pardon? He got he ended up with 2 broken ribs. And Jesus. Which, you know, that's not fun either. But, you know, and I had to scooch out of the pasture on my butt. And this was just last year.
Did you? Well, when you have a pet and they do something wrong, they know it, especially a dog.
Oh, yeah.
A cat knows, too.
They just don't care.
Right. They don't care, but they know. Did the horse know? I mean, could you tell the horse was like...
No. And as a matter of fact, when the dust settled, they were just standing over there looking at us like, what the hell are you doing on the ground?
Yeah, like, get up, human.
So,
see, that would piss me off. I'd be like, you get your ass over here and help me get up.
Yeah, something, man.
Just ran me over for no reason.
Yeah, but everybody knows horses are heartless.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah. I got a t-shirt that says it.
At what point did you realize you might need medical attention? 206-803-ROCK.
We should get Keith to make those for us.
I know. Hello, Ricky. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how are you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Doing good, Ricky.
Yeah, I'm a high-time listener. A lifetime resident of Seattle and first-time caller.
Oh, thank you.
Well, welcome to the show.
So I feel like this is I had started back in September of last year. I was working a full-time job and went to work, got out of the car, and couldn't breathe. So I had told my boss to I had to go home. So that night, I woke up, my heart was racing and pounding and couldn't breathe, so I drove myself to the emergency room. I live a couple of blocks from Northwest Hospital. So I told them what was happening, and they admitted me. I was in the hospital for 4 days right there. They were doing all these tests, angiograms and stuff on your heart. But they found out that my aortic valve was failing.
Ooh.
It was only working like 30%. So I was in the hospital for 4 days there while they were doing tests. And they said they had to replace your aortic valve. It was bifurcated. You know what that is?
Not exactly.
So a normal person has, just think of a 3-petaled flower. That's what your valve looks like. It's got 3, like, petals. I was born with 2.
Oh.
That's so, it. Jesus.
So was it like spinning in there? Like, in other words, was the blood just rotating within itself?
It was just leaking.
Oh.
You know, like a failed valve. And it was only working like 30%. So the good thing is the cardiologist said, well, we can replace it with an artificial valve through your artery in your leg, right?
Okay.
And I said, okay. I had no hesitation. I'm 66 years old. And then 2 days later, they came in and said they couldn't do it. They had to do an open heart surgery, which I don't, I'm not going to do it with open heart surgery. So they let me out of the hospital and gave me some medication to keep the fluid in your lungs and your heart from suffocating you. And about 2 months later, it wasn't working anymore. So I went back in the hospital, and that was for 11 days.
Jeez.
They were trying to stabilize me to, enough to, and I still told them I'd rather die than do open heart surgery.
Why is that?
So, what do you mean?
Why would you
want to save you?
Yeah.
I've had two brothers do open heart surgery, and it just takes over a year to recover. And I don't think you ever recover from it either.
Well, you definitely, I mean, once they break your chest plate, that's not fun.
Right.
No. So they actually got together a new cardiologist team, and they did a through the artery in your leg, you know, and the surgery replaced the valve.
Okay.
And so that was in middle of April, and before that, I was like 170 pounds, and when I got out of the hospital, I was 151 pounds.
Oh, you look great.
Damn.
Yeah. Looked like a from Auschwitz.
That's the diet.
Yeah.
Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Less, and we have your emails on the way next to the Men's Room at KISW.com.